Good afternoon. I thank God for an opportunity to testify of God's goodness toward me. And thank God also for your pastor, the Reverend Dr. Paul Ferguson, for his kind invitation. Before we begin, I shall look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we'd like to thank Thee for Thy amazing grace to such a wretch as I. Forgive us. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank Thee for salvation so rich and so free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, it's a testimony of Thy goodness. And for every sinner, there is hope in life in the Lord. We pray that Thou would guide us, lead us, and may this testimony time be a blessing to many people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. Okay, firstly, I have no title, so just call me brother is fine. And I would like to begin with a verse, Proverbs 17:25. It says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." Such as I was born in 1988, and I was not good at all in my studies. And in those days, Singapore sort of worships education, Singaporeans. But I didn't care. And this gives some idea of how weak my discipline is. And I can just illustrate the stupidity of me. When I was in primary school, I mixed with bad companies in the neighborhood. And one day, while we were walking in a multi-story car park, not to play catching, I found a pack of cigarettes. Six sticks. So we decided to go up and smoke. But incidentally, at the top level of the multi-story car park, there was vandalism. There's phone number and Alan. Then after that, it was not done by me. It was already there. Then the one of the staff in charge of the estate was there doing some site inspection. Then he thought that I was the one who did the vandalism. He asked me, "Who is Alan?" And of course, I innocently say, "Alan is my friend," because I had a classmate friend who is Alan. And so he dragged me to the office and called the police. And I did not care about the vandalism because it wasn't done by me, but I keep screaming, like, I did not smoke, but I did. And don't know whether I did smoke or not, because it's just breathing in and breathing out. Yeah, so that was who I was, a foolish son that causes grief to my father. And the lack of self-discipline didn't make it well in studies. I was in a lower stream all the way after ITE, Poly, and FEBC. That's the backdrop of my education. And how weak was I in discipline? I had my father to do 习字 homework for me. 习字 literally revise words or revision of vocabulary. Basically, you write the Chinese character repeatedly. So I write the first time, and he'll write the rest for me. That's how bad I was. And not only that, somehow at a young and tender age, before primary school, I was introduced to pornography. By my sibling. And likely, the eldest sibling introduced to the elder sibling. And the eldest sibling brought a group of friends home to view it. Then, so they invited me. I innocently go and watch. And at the time, I don't know why it was. So I watched like few seconds and found it not interesting, then went out to play my games. That was before primary school. But Satan did not let me leave. So over the years, I struggled with pornography and more importantly, or more severely, sex addiction. And the thing is, all of this shows the heart condition. Matthew 15:19 says, out of the heart, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. So my heart was already bad. And I was infant baptized in a Roman Catholic church. Then after that, I went to a cult church called Worldwide Church of God. Then after that, I moved on to Charismatic Church. And that's how I know of the gospel. I mean, they tried getting me to speak in tongues, reciting and repeating hallelujah, but I still cannot speak in tongues. My cousin could. She cried. And supposedly that's the proof or evidence of salvation, but it wasn't in my case. And for me, how I was saved, I knew I was bad, totally sinful. No question about it. And I'm the guy, kind of neighborhood kid that would get myself into trouble, sometimes with the police, sometimes with the neighborhood kids, get ourselves into some fights. Yeah. So, simply believing in Jesus Christ. You know, there is no night or day kind of thing for me. Don't have that kind of experience. But it's just when the plain preaching of the gospel, believe in Jesus and you'll go to heaven. Believe Jesus and your sins will be forgiven. That's how I got saved. And so, it's only in my secondary school that my father knew of Life BP Church. He searched the web, something about True Church Singapore. And the first link was Life BP Church. So brought out of charismatic circles into BP circle, which is conservative, which at least has the word of God and preach from the word of God. And Christian journey was a difficult one. And I thank God through His providence that He preserved me from fornication. Although, yes, the moment you lust after a woman, you have already committed adultery in your heart. But Jerry Bridges, the author of The Pursuit of Holiness and also Respectable Sins, he mentioned, he said, I'd rather be guilty of lust than of adultery. At least it is less severe. And coming from that background, I know how severe fornication is. Because in my opinion, it's not easy to sleep with another person. It's not easy to get another person to sleep with you. And so people who commit fornication is really deliberate. Consensus deliberate. That only makes the guilt higher. And so, what happened? I would not say that I watch pornography more than anyone else. You know, somebody wrote a book on tongue speaking to refute tongue speaking. He said, I've spoken more tongues than all of you, quoting the Apostle Paul. But for me, I know well enough to to be acquainted with the struggles of men. And lately, I believe more women also. I mean, my friend went to Japan last year, Akihabara, known for these kind of things. He said in that departmental store, obscene departmental store, he found out 50% of them are women, 50% are male. So he was shocked. He thought 80-20 or maybe 70 male to 30 female. But no, 50-50. And so how? As you know, addiction to any kind of sin is not a pleasing thing. It's not a... I mean, if you are born again, you will feel uncomfortable. Why? It recurs. Why you fall time and time again? So there were doubts whether I'm truly saved. There were also questions. What is grace? What is repentance? So I begin to go on this quest to sort of find a cure for my condition. I did not ask people, I consulted books. And maybe I wasn't mature enough to understand those things at the time. But I learned that the power of God can save me from such things. And the depravity of my soul is so deep that my eyes are absolutely wicked. You know, the Bible has a description, eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. That's a description of an unbeliever. But when an unbeliever became saved, got saved, certain habits of what he used to have remains. It's not like from day one, oh, no sinful habits. Still have. Because progressively, I need to replace or displace these sinful habits with godly discipline. And the key, I mean, over the years, I realized the key is to discipline the thought. And of course, I forgot to mention what the depravity is that the eyes can undress women. That's how, or not the eyes, but the imagination. That's how bad it is. And should women stay away from me? Well, sometimes maybe I think they should. Not out of suspicion, but so that, I mean, if more women are fearful, are aware of such situation, they would be at an advantage in protecting themselves from getting into unnecessary trouble. And so that's my condition. I've been fighting this, and it's not a pleasant one. It's not a pleasant one. And so tried various things, cold shower, fasting and all that. But at the end of the day, nothing is a substitute for spiritual discipline. David committed adultery on the day that he was lazy. He's supposed to be in battle, he did not. And he lays until later in the day, and that's how Satan got him. I mean, it can happen to any one of us. And Elder Boaz Boone, in his message, he mentioned Potiphar's wife. And I thank God through God's providence, Potiphar's wife did not came looking for me. Otherwise, I would be in trouble. I would be an easy target, serious. And I mean, I had a lecturer in FEBC, he mentioned that his job as a pastor teacher does not allow him to even go to the beach. Is that serious? Is that deadly? Is that, somehow men with the same type of weaknesses have that kind of similarities, weaknesses. And so, yes, I got married, I have two daughters, and how do I protect my daughters from such men? I do not know. All I can know, all I can do is to discipline them, maybe get them dressed properly, not to go to places at night, secluded places and all that, not to mix with bad company. And the grace of God. The thing is, He did not give up on me, even though I had recurring sins. He did not give up on me. Although at times I wanted to give up. You know, Satan can use recurring sin to discourage any one of us. And we know discouragement is one of the most effective and powerful tools Satan can use, anyone can use. You know, in warfare, if you can discourage your enemy from not fighting the battle, you can win the battle without any bullets. That's how it is. But I learned from basketball. What happens if the opponent get past you and score a goal? What do you do? Do you stand there and wallow and cry? What do you do? You counterattack. Start getting the ball back to your possession and counterattack. And in some fast NBA games, after you score a goal, the ball will fly within seconds to the opposite side and the person takes a shot and scores. That's how fast it can be. So in some sense, God helps me to relate to people of such condition. God helps me to better understand them as I understand myself and the warfare. At the same time, God teaches me what is repentance. Repentance is not a one-day thing, one-night thing. Sometimes it's ongoing. What is faith? Faith also has an enduring element. Hold fast to Christ. Keep on holding fast to Christ. Don't give Him up. Yes, spiritual depression may set in, and at times, thoughts of suicides may surface. In my case, like, what's the point of living a terrible Christian life? Might as well die, and maybe God can use other people to be better witnesses for His kingdom and His glory. But God has His purpose. And so, that was my life. A little bit of basketball here and there, and also gaming. I am more steeped into gaming also, because I don't play games for fun. I play games to win. And I play games... I join competition for games. So the kind of hardcore element is there. So much so that today, I cannot play a single game. Because I know if I start playing, I cannot put it down. I don't want to just win. You know, Angry Bird, you just win. I'm the kind that every stage must get 3 stars. I play the same stage over and over again. See, that's me. And it's a complete waste of time. And so, over the years, thank God, that has been removed. And I discovered one thing. I mean, in my quest to overcome sin, I discovered one thing. We need a spiritual, or at least I need a spiritual chain reaction. We cannot, like, welcome the world and say that, oh, when the real test comes, I will not commit sin. It doesn't work that way. That is why at its first appearance, temptation, first allurement, sin has to be addressed. Sin must not be entertained. And the only sin that Christians are not called to fight is the battle of lust. And interestingly, although marriage helped, but Paul did not tell Timothy to get married. Paul tell Timothy, flee also youthful lust. But he didn't stop there. Follow after righteousness. And so what does it mean for sanctification? What does it mean for healing, spiritual healing? It means that I should not keep looking at myself and the measure of spirituality should not be just not to sin. The positive element must be there. What is the positive element? Jesus says, deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow me. So must follow God. Follow Jesus in everything. Every aspect of Christ must be followed, obeyed. And that's the only way that spiritual healing can take place. Whether any kind of sinful addictions. And one thing for those who are addicted, at least I hear reports from the Gethsemane Care Ministry, which is a ministry to drug addicts. They take the Bible very seriously. To them, morning devotion is like life and death. Why? Because one lapse only, go back to drugs. What happened? You know, once you consume drugs, it's not like ice cream, you know, you finish and that's it. You'll be addicted, you want more. And some of them went in and out of prison over again. Halfway house over again. And sometimes spiritual addictions or sinful addictions is like that also. We must take our devotion seriously. And so, back to David. David had multiple wives, yet he still fell into sin of adultery. This shows that the physical, whatever physical aid you can have, is no replacement or substitute for spiritual discipline. And the spiritual discipline against this warfare is to flee and follow righteousness. Flee youthful lust and follow righteousness. And so, how did God call me? I mean, my calling to service, full-time service, is a mystery. Occasionally, I still struggle with it. I mean, maybe more so in the present, I still struggle with it. Did God really call me? Did God call me to be a preacher? Did God call me to be a pastor? Did God call me to the ministry of the word? Why? Because there are two things. First, personal call. Second, visible recognition of that personal call. That means your local church must recognize that that is a call from God. And before that, I tell you how I got into FEBC first. So after poly, I went to NS. After NS, I wanted to study in LaSalle College of the Arts. I went to the school, a senior who is from Calvary Pandan, actually showed me around. I got excited. I wanted to go there to do animation. But during the ministry of FCM, Fundamental Christian Ministry for Universities, Polytechnics, and the Sunset Gospel Hour taught me two songs. I mean, I came across two songs. One of it is Stanza 4 of So Send I You. Why I want to do animation is because of ambition. So the verse there, so send I you to live your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love when men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. This is at times it can be a tough pill to swallow because you can give up everything, but what about ourselves, our own life? But, you know, the thing is, if I want to be, I want to square myself with this hit, I cannot just say, oh, sing and that's it. I'll be, in my evaluation, I'll be a hypocrite. Same for the next hymn. Jesus, I my cross have taken. First stanza. Jesus, I my cross have taken. All to live and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. And again, ambition, the word came up. Perish every fond ambition. All I have sought and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. So these two hymns get me to forsake what I hope to do, what I hope to do. And I enrolled myself in FEBC, so I studied. And how well did I do in FEBC? Will it matter? Does it matter? Will it determine anything? As you can see from my education history, the lack of discipline, the lack of grammar, language, and all that, I'm not the best. I pass. Although I managed to finish Greek and Hebrew. Some say, or one of my classmates say, I'm good at Greek. But my reply was that I'm not good. Even though I get A- for year 2 and A for first semester of year 3. The reason is because of how I think. I am more of like a realist. I can understand where my friend is coming from. Good in a relative sense, in a school setting. But to call myself good, it means that I must have the skill to read directly from the Greek Bible, preach directly from the Greek Bible, and maybe translate like the King James translators. And you know, those were really the best. Those translators, really the best. They write journal diary in Greek. They do their quiet time in Hebrew. How to be so good? So, because of that, many times that also contribute to slight spiritual depression and also how I view life. And spiritual life, I'm still learning what the joy of the Lord is my strength, really is. And I mean, through it all, I learn with conviction, salvation by grace alone. The power of grace, the freeness of grace, or you can say the unconditionalness of grace, if that is a word, unconditionality of grace. And grace not only make me rich, but also tell me my position in Christ is secured. And so now back to my studies in FEBC. Okay, languages is one thing. I repeated Hebrew. Third year, managed to pass. So completed all my languages. But these things do not matter much. Because in the church, what does the church need? The church does not need scholars in these areas. At times, in my opinion, what does the church need? The church needs good sermons, good preaching, And I struggled with homiletics. It's one of my worst subject in school. Worst subject. I even failed one semester. I had to tapao that semester in my fourth and a half year. That means I had to redo that semester. I need 8 passes of that to graduate. And even after graduation, the homiletic teacher encouraged me to carry on. And I had given the opportunity to preach, and I couldn't deliver well. But I'm thankful for the teacher. He did not give up on me. Although he knew that some say that I'm not called to be a preacher because I can't preach. And I mean, even as I'm preaching, wherever I have opportunity, I do evaluate myself as I'm preaching. It's a little bit insane, I know, to evaluate yourself, like self-check before you, I mean. So, over the years, I learned something. It is not about me. It's about God. Granted, my sermons can be mediocre at best, but God can use it. At the same time, I should not stop there. I should not let it remain below average. I must improve. Study the text. Pay close attention to the text. And so I'm thankful for every single opportunity where I get to preach. And also another tutor, a friend of mine who taught me Greek, recommended that I go evangelism. So wherever I can in true life, I join Jose Lagapa, Dr. Jose Lagapa. He has a Filipino ministry also. So after church, 12:30, usually is outside Lucky Plaza, between Lucky Plaza and Paragon. That's where we do our evangelism to the Filipino. So to tell them about the gospel by grace alone in Christ alone. I mean, not that theological training is bad or useless. Not that studying Greek and Hebrew is useless. There are times where we need those things. Like in true life, one brother, he has a problem with Lordship salvation. So how can you convince him? Actually, you can't. It's only the Holy Spirit can convince him. He says, repentance is not repentance of your sin, but repentance of your unbelief in Jesus Christ. And so that's how people can be saved. And he draw a straight line between Israel's, God rebuked Israel to repent of her sins, and how Gentile sinners are supposed to repent of their sins unto salvation. Different things. So in those cases, maybe you can read up and argue from the Bible to show that, no, in every case, repentance has the idea of not just unbelief or disbelief in Jesus Christ, but also of our sins. We need to feel remorse and regret for our sins. Yes, I'm ashamed of my sins, but there's one thing I'm not ashamed of. That is Jesus Christ and his power to save, power to heal. He can heal any sinner of his sinful condition. Yeah. So, right now, where am I? I am serving in FEBC as an IT personnel, IT support staff. I do digitizing of Dr. John Wickham's lectures. in preparation for online courses. That's one of my job scope. Another one is typesetting of whatever new projects that the principal has, and also updating of website, FEBC website and True Life website. Every week, I am in charge of updating the weekly, uploading a sermon, and make changes when necessary. And also, occasionally, I prepare messages and preach. So, but the thing is, as of now, I'm open to anything, whether to serve in a local church or to be a missionary. I'm open for God's leading. And I mean, but for now, I am tied down to Singapore for at least a few years. I'm also open to further studies in Puritan Reformed Seminary, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, because of slightly similar persuasions and to learn more about Puritan and their faith. And the ministry that I'm having is not without struggle, because I'm a married man with children. And Apostle Paul, he mentioned in 1 Corinthians 7 that to consider yourself as though you are not married, right? To the married, consider yourself as not married, and if you possess, as though you have not possessed. Why? Because time is short. I'm struggling because I'm struggling to be a responsible father at the same time to serve God. And this is something challenging for me, because my wife and the two children, they require some help. And, you know, it's not easy to leave them by themselves. One is 2-year-old, one is 1-year-old. It's not easy. So there's this struggle, really, struggle. Can I continue to go evangelism? If my wife is like a Sunday widow, things like that, I have to pray. What can I do? So it's a struggle. I mean, I also had a friend who had, I mean, I have a friend who has 4 children. And his wife advised me, pray. No other way, pray. Because not every time there are help around, like relative to help to look after, not every time. But if you pray, God is always there to help. A very present help in time of trouble. That's who God is. And so, it's tough. And the reason why I'm not fully confident is also that because of my past struggles, present struggles with sin. Imagine, one day Potiphar's wife come to me. What will I do? You see, if I succumb to sin, immediately disqualified. I mean, I'm not the same persuasion as Reverend Koshi that a preacher cannot commit adultery. I'm of the same persuasion as he is, at least for his church. So that's my stand. So what will I mean, of course, it's wrong to think that way. Is more positive to think step by step, moment by moment, ask God for grace. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is why being called to full-time service is very difficult. It's very difficult to study in theological college. It's very difficult to craft a good sermon. It's very difficult to remain a faithful and holy witness. Very difficult. Satan can use many things. To some, he used persecution. To some, he used the carrot. Temptation, like sweet things and all that, to cause people to sin. Greed, money, sex, all these things. So, how? The only way for me is to be faithful each day. There's no other way. To be faithful each day, to be close to God, and to fight real spiritual battles. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Not against flesh and blood. Physical environments may help, may assist, but those are most of the time not where the real battle is. It's the heart, it's the mind, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, things like that. So, as the hymns goes, only God is my hope, no one else. And I still believe God calls me to serve full time. But now is the specification, specifically what work He calls me to. Is it preaching? Or is it continue to do all those audio editing, video editing to support the college in this way? I mean, both are well and good. So, only time, if God permits, He will reveal to me. And instead of discouraging all of you, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. He not only can save me from hell, He can save me from the darkness of sin, in practical life. And He also can cause me, use me for His service. Any one of you can serve God. God can call any one of you to serve God. Apostle Paul had his background of sin. King David, anyone can be used of God. Ultimately, the focus is not about I, me, myself, how well I do this, how good a sermon I preach. Ultimately, it's about God. Even in the pursuit of holiness, is Godwardness. Is not having a clean score or a clean sheet, but is always Godward. That's why Psalm 115 verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. So this is my testimony. Can I pray? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for who Thou art, because there is forgiveness. No sins need to be hidden. And because Thou hast the power to save, power for us, for Thy people, to overcome sin and transgression, however bad their condition may be, however steep their addiction are, Thou hast the power for them, for each of us, to overcome them. We pray that Thou would Help us to exalt thee and to worship thee greater for thy grace in the backdrop of our depravity. Truly, may thy name be glorified, and may we worship thee with a profound understanding of what thy grace means to us. Truly, may we echo with the psalmist, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name give glory." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.